This is Baron Von Raske, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. That is all you'll need to know. Turn your dial.
When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling.
It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Now with Justin Simmons, here's Stu Myrick.
It is Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Stu Myrick, Justin Simmons will be with us soon. He is busy covering some matters pertaining to the Columbus Crew and their possible move to the ATX. Of course, that's for the throw-in. Of course, you can hear him on the throw-in with Kit McConico and Zach Christo every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Central on the Horn. But we'll get going anyway because, hey, I'm back from Vegas. And so who else could I call to try to figure out what's going on in WWE than our good friend from Between the Ropes and the Sporting News, of course, Between the Ropes, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network on Blog Talk Radio. It is none other than my New Orleans roomie, Brian Fritz. So what's up, man?
If you can figure out what WWE is doing right now, or anybody can, then I need to know what exactly is going on, because I can't figure it out myself.
All right, so let's start with the elephant in the room. And that elephant is in the form of Roman Reigns. Now, let's go back. Let's go all the way back to WrestleMania. We were there. We were in the Superdome. Roman and Brock. Everybody is anticipating Brock is going to drop the title to Roman. Everybody's ready to boo Roman. And then all of a sudden they decide he's not going to drop the title because now WWE signed a new deal with him. And so he's going to be sticking around for a little while longer. We don't know how much longer, but he's going to stick around. So then you go to Saudi Arabia. Again, Roman and Brock. They could do it in front of a crowd that might not actually boo Roman. And yet, no, they do this whole thing where they come through the cage. And although Roman's feet technically hit the floor first, the referee calls it for Brock. Brock is still Universal Champion. We then go to Backlash this past Sunday. And it's Roman versus Samoa Joe. And I think there was probably more apathy for that match than just about any match I can remember in recent time. I mean, people were leaving in the middle of the match. So what's going on?
What's going on is WWE screwed up a couple of years ago when it came to the booking of Roman Reigns, and they continue to keep screwing up, because they have found different pitfalls along the way and trying to make him the man. And it's been, you know, time after time that they keep making mistakes or going against what the audience wants. And every time that they continue with what they do, it's like they dig the ditch a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, and they will not adjust. And now it's getting worse and worse every time when it comes to the crowd reaction. And I'm not exactly sure why they won't adjust. And they're just hell-bent on, this is what we're doing with Roman. We're going to make him the top guy. But they're hurting him and they're hurting the product, you know, in the process of it. Because you've got people walking out on a show. I mean, there wasn't like half of the audience or anything, but it was a noticeable number of people that were walking out. You've got people that aren't even paying attention to the main event of one of your pay-per-views. And instead, they're doing chants out in the crowd, they're doing everything else. They just don't care. And this is something that WWE could have rectified a long time ago and made an adjustment, whether it was going to be turn Roman heel or whether it was going to be just something else. But find another way to do something with Roman. And they've just been steadfast in what they've done. And it's not hurting them. It's hurting Roman Reigns. I mean, I don't know what else Roman could do. And then to make matters even worse when it comes to the storyline process of all of this, they're actually having Roman Reigns go out there and say, there's a conspiracy against him by the WWE, and the man is holding him down. And just like, that's incredible that that's the storyline they're going to go with. It's just against everything right now. That, you know, the way that people look at Roman Reigns and how he's been the guy that's been given everything. And they've got him in storylines talking about, like, oh, everybody's out to get me. They're all against me. I'm like, that's just putting, you know, gas on the fire.
Look, Roman Reigns is no Matt Taven, okay? We're not going to see Roman Reigns in the parking lot on standing on top of a minivan selling T-shirts. Okay, so let's go to this. When we say they, we mean WWE. Do we mean Vince? Is it ultimately yes. Vince?
It's just Vince. Because, I mean, come the end of the day, Vince McMahon is the one that makes all the decisions. You can have, you know, however many members on the creative staff. They can write whatever they want when it comes to promos or storylines, pitch ideas or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's Vince McMahon that either approves it or says, nope, go back to the drawing board. He has the final say over everything. He looks over everything. And it's his decision to do what they've been doing.
I forgive me. I'm still a little dumbfounded. And the sad thing is, this isn't really Roman's fault. Roman is doing what he is being told to do, and it's not like he's having bad matches. But it just seems like the crowd, after month after month after month after month, they have finally said, you know what? If you're going to shove it down our throats, we're just going to turn our backs to it. We're going to do our own thing until you change it, and we're not going to care. And, it's not like where WWE can play it off as, well, he's getting a reaction. Any reaction is a good reaction. That's the problem. It's the reaction is turning into apathy, and like we said, in some cases, we saw it. People are leaving the stands, and they're, it's not like this isn't beat the traffic kind of leaving the stands. This is, we're done.
See, that's the interesting thing, I think, is that we've seen this issue with Roman Reigns where people, there's not everybody in the crowd, but obviously a noticeable number of people have been against him in the audience. And what we saw on Sunday night at Backlash was one of the first times where, people walked out, and I kind of wondered, like, when does it get to a point where it affects business? I don't think we're there yet, but we're getting close. And the number when it comes to the rating for Raw was down on Monday. I don't know if that was because people were interested in watching the NBA playoffs, or if it was just, hey, you know what? We didn't like Backlash. We didn't like what they did there, and we're not going to watch Raw tonight. It's something, like I said, they got to take a hard look at this, because in the past, we've seen WWE, go full bore on different guys. And if it's not working, they will adjust. They will make some kind of a tweak. But for whatever reason with Roman Reigns, they are not making that tweak. And it just really stands out when we see him in these different main events. We see him headline WrestleMania for, was it the fourth year in a row? And Roman is a talented guy, but the way that they have done this and continue to push him in that manner and shoving him down everybody's throats, it's obviously leaving a bad taste in people's mouth. You've got him on Backlash, and they put him in the main event. They put the Roman Reigns Samoa Joe match on last. When you've got a WWE Championship match on that show, and that should be last. Traditionally, that is the last match, but they didn't put it on last. Part of the reason is just because of the finish for that match where they didn't have a winner in it. But at the same time, fans aren't necessarily going to look at that and say, oh, well, it's Roman Reigns. You're going to put him on last. And that just makes people dislike him even more when they're giving him that main event slot when he's not even in a championship match.
Talk with Brian Fritz from Between the Ropes and the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Fritz. Let's talk about Backlash in general. I watched it. From everything I've read and seen, and to me, the beginning match was fantastic. Seth and Miz, just tore the house down. It was great match, great psychology. In the end, Seth keeps the IC title. He's the hottest thing going right now. But then it seemed like the rest of the show kind of just went, okay. We got our good in with Seth and Miz. Let's just, mail the rest of it in. Was that your perception as well?
Yeah, it just really went downhill. And I don't know if it's a case of talent's really tired from all the traveling that they've done. Remember, they just came back from Saudi Arabia. There was a lot of the Raw talent that also went to South Africa just before that as well. And by the way, WWE is really running their talent ragged because now they're getting ready to go on a 2-week tour over in the UK as well. So no rest for the weary. But yeah, I mean, that show started off great with Seth Rollins and The Miz, and he just went downhill and he kept going there. You know, Styles and Nakamura had a really, really good match up until the finish, which was perplexing that for the second big show in a row, they did not have a decisive finish to a WWE championship match between the two of them. And some of the booking decisions just all across the board have been just really, really strange lately. I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about Roman Reigns. He's the one that stands out and people want to discuss the most. But, you know, what they've done with the WWE championship between Styles and Nakamura, I think has been questionable. The decision to have Carmella beat Charlotte clean in a back and forth match. I mean, there was no shenanigans. There was no heel tactics or anything by Carmella. She didn't cheat to win. It was just a straight up match where she went toe to toe with Charlotte and beat her clean in the middle of the ring. I mean, that was crazy as well. I mean, what they've done there on the women's side for SmackDown since WrestleMania. I mean, I think a lot of people are surprised that Charlotte beat Asuka and ended her undefeated streak. But you know what? If you're going to do something with Charlotte off of that and keep her strong, you know, for a long time going forward, then you can get it. But to immediately have Charlotte lose the women's championship on SmackDown and then she lost clean to Carmella is oddly perplexing, to say the least.
Yeah, I agree. I want to talk something about AJ and Shinsuke because, I mean, these two guys know each other well. They've had Burn Burma matches before, you know, in New Japan, whatever. The finish to the Backlash match, which, okay, look, enough with the low blows. All right, I mean, it just seemed like are they afraid of actually letting these two have a complete match like we know they are? Are they afraid of just letting them go?
I think some of it is that they told them, like, this is going to be going on for a while, so let's just keep having good, solid matches, but build up to a crescendo. I think that might be part of it. I think the WrestleMania match just didn't get enough time for them to really, you know, take it to another level. When it comes to this match, I mean, I think they were getting there. But then they had that weird finish again. Part of it is, too, with WWE, they want them to tell a different kind of story than what you're going to see over New Japan and those kind of matches. So then, obviously, the story here is Nakamura will cheat to you know, try to win. He'll do whatever he needs to do. And lately, he has been resorting to low blows. But it was just a weird finish, the way they did that. I mean, I think we all thought, I mean, tell me if you thought this was, Stu, that because it was legal that Shinsuke was going to use a low blow in this match and he was going to win the championship or at least come close to winning the championship, but then lose somehow. Or maybe AJ used a low blow to get back at Shinsuke to retain the championship. But instead they did this, you know, both connected with low blows at the same time. Both guys couldn't answer the count of 10, so the match was over. So, people will get tired of it when you start doing these finishes where you're on a pay-per-view, you're on these special shows, and you don't have a decisive winner in a match for the WWE Championship. People will get tired of that very quickly.
Talk with Brian Fritz from the Sporting News and Between the Ropes, and fresh from covering MLS to ATX. He's even wearing the shirt. Justin Simmons joins us. Hello, Justin.
Good to see you, Stu.
We're talking Backlash, talking the SmackDown side. Let me ask you this. Are they afraid of putting the strap on Shinsuke yet?
I think so, man. I really believe that Vince McMahon, maybe I'm wrong here, but just kind of reading the tea leaves and the way that they book Shinsuke, and I think Asuka is very similar in this manner, that I think that Vince McMahon doesn't totally get them yet and isn't sure if he wants to have them be like their biggest stars on the brand. Like, obviously, they've been doing well with Shinsuke lately, especially since he turned heel. But I still think that Vince McMahon is tepid on putting the championship on him. I think he feels the same way when it comes to Asuka and her star potential. Do you know, do they really want to go all the way? Do they really want to go above and beyond when it comes to Asuka? Same with Shinsuke. And I don't think he's been won over yet by them. I don't think he knows how to book those Japanese stars in today's day and age. I just think he's very leery of that. I think in many ways he's always been leery when it comes to international superstars. There are some that definitely have worked, but there's others I think you have to do a lot to win them over. And I just don't think he's there yet with either of those talents.
I definitely have to agree with you there. Do you think it's just a language barrier? Is that really what's holding them back at this juncture? We all know that a WWE champion has to have the gift of gab, so to speak. Even Roman Reigns has improved.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, I don't know if either of them needs a manager necessarily, but, I mean, it's not like we see Brock Lesnar talk. And even when he does, he doesn't like talking that much on, you know, on cutting promos.
But it's not bad.
I think a lot of it is that language barrier, just because both Asuka and Shinsuke can't speak English. But obviously it's broken English. It's not their first language. And I think that's part of the issue where Vince probably looks at it and just says, no, you know, or maybe you'll be won over eventually. Maybe he'll say, hey, you know, well, we're going to pull the trigger. But there's a difference of putting a championship on somebody and really making them a top person. And I don't know if Vince is going to get there. I'm sure that Triple H thinks that, you know, hey, you've got some megastars here. I mean, there's a reason why we went out of our way to get Nakamura here and, you know, do what we did with him in NXT. Same with Asuka and giving her that unbeaten streak. And, you know, it's different between NXT and Triple H booking there and the WWE and Vince McMahon being the person that makes the calls there.
I don't want to backtrack too much, but do you think it was the right time for Asuka to lose the streak in the manner she lost it in?
If you were going to do something more with Charlotte, yeah. But, I mean, to, you know, have her drop, you know, the title and lose the streak, and then have Charlotte immediately lose the championship and then lose a straight-up match against Carmella, I don't understand that whatsoever. I just don't get it. You know, it makes no sense to me. I mean, if you're going to do that, why have Asuka, you know, even, you know, lose at WrestleMania? It would have been better off with her to keep winning. I mean, if you're going to do something with Charlotte off of that, I mean, you know, there were rumors, like, the day after WrestleMania, people saying, oh, well, they want to do Charlotte against Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania next year. Who knows? Maybe that was a legit rumor. Maybe not. It seems feasible, you know, but you got to do something with Charlotte coming off of that. And they immediately did not. They diffused her very quickly.
Yeah, they definitely dropped the ball on that one. At least I felt.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Don't get me wrong. Glad to see Carmella get her moment, but just.
But yeah. Talking with Brian Fritz. Brian, the announcement came out. UFC has signed a deal with ESPN. They're going to do 15, you know, specials. These will be like the fight nights and such that are going to be on ESPN Plus, which is the new streaming service, the subscription streaming service from ESPN. How does that affect the negotiations for WWE for their new TV rights? We've heard all along that Fox wants them and wants them bad. And now that we're seeing UFC make a move and get in bed with ESPN, does this strengthen Fox's resolve to partner up with Vince and WWE?
I think it affects the WWE deal in a couple of ways. Number one, you know, Fox still obviously has the broadcast rights to UFC, but that ends, you know, by the end of the year. But, you know, UFC has to find a partner when it comes to, you know, its broadcast programming on regular TV. Whether that's going to be Fox or someplace else, we don't know yet. But, you know, they've got another deal when it comes to, you know, this deal that you talked about with ESPN Plus. So if Fox is going to get them to come back, it's not going to be for as many dates as they had before. So they can kind of share the burden when it comes to the programming and the money to some extent with ESPN Plus. Now, that deal was for $150 million that ESPN made with UFC. So I think WWE has to look at that and go, wow, they got X amount of dates, not even their main shows, and it's on a subscription-based app, and they still got $150 million. So they got to be feeling pretty good about whatever kind of money they're going to get. And we'll see if that comes from Fox, because now if Fox isn't going to have the as big of a deal as they've had before with UFC and with the amount of money that we expect them to have here, they're cash rich right now. And they could have UFC and they could have WWE. I mean, that's something that's been talked about, is maybe they really want to go in and they want to have both of those properties. However, you know, we're seeing the different, you know, TV channels right now doing their upfronts, and USA Network is getting ready to have theirs, and WWE is going to be there. I mean, they're going to have John Cena there. I believe the Bella Twins are going to be there, maybe some more talent, but WWE is going to be there. It doesn't necessarily mean that, like, they're going to remain with USA Today and NBC, but it's at least a positive sign. But here's the thing, too. WWE wants to announce their next TV deal by September. However, the current deal with USA Network doesn't expire until September of 2019. So they want to announce a new deal a year in advance, at least a year in advance. But, you know, Fox has got plenty of money. They could do it. But whoever gets WWE, I mean, WWE's getting raised from what they're getting right now, which is what, about $160, $170 million this year. That in next year will be they'll be the most money they get in the deal that they have right now. So it'll be like $170 million. But they got to feel like, man, we got to be getting at least 200, if not more, considering what UFC just got, you know, with this deal from ESPN.
Brian Fritz, you can follow him on Twitter at Brian Fritz and catch him on Between the Ropes, part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, along with Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, and read him in the Sporting News. Brian, thank you so much, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Appreciate it, man.
Good stuff from Brian Fritz. We're going to reset, and when we come back from this commercial timeout, we'll have more. It is Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, streaming worldwide at hornfm.com and the Horn Austin app. As you know, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network that you find on Blog Talk Radio. Another one of our partners is the Cosmic Geppetto Podcast. And this week, the gang shares their thoughts on Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy showing up in the new Avengers movie, Infinity War, plus so much more. That's the Cosmic Geppetto Podcast. You can find it as a part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network on blogtalkradio.com.
I am in the top 1%.
This is EC3, and you are listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. I'm in the top 1%.
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons. Wrestling on television is so vital to the sport, to the industry, and the latest to join the TV airwaves, Major League Wrestling, a great promotion based in Orlando, Florida. And joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to tell us more about MLW and about their new TV show, Fusion, he is the man at the head of MLW, Corp Bauer. How are you, sir?
Hey, Stu, how's it going today?
I'm good. So before we get to MLW, let's talk about you for a second. You've been in the wrestling business for quite some time. You spent time in WWE and in other forays. Give our listeners a little taste of your upbringing, for lack of a better term, in pro wrestling.
Sure. Well, I actually founded Major League Wrestling when I was about 22 in 2002. Ran it for a few years, developed a lot of talent. You saw a young CM Punk go through there, Daniel Bryan, a lot of great talent, Tyson Kidd. And we had legends like Terry Funk, Abdul the Butcher, Joey Styles was our announcer at the time. And then around 2005, I moved on to WWE, where I was a creative executive for a few years and was involved with developing, creating characters like Umaga. Worked a lot on the SmackDown side of the equation, and then went into the real fighting game, and I've served as an executive producer for UFC Fight Pass. Also worked with different companies in wrestling over the years, and work with rapper Wale. So I've touched on a few different areas of entertainment as well as sports, and we have a very successful podcasting network called MLW Radio Network, and then we grew another tentacle in the form of relaunching the league in 2007, which has been a lot of fun, a lot of excitement with Tony Schiavone as the play-by-play announcer, along with Rich Bocchini, formerly Rich Brennan of NXT. And you can watch us each and every Friday now on BN Sports, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And we have replays, of course, at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central.
And that's fantastic. Tony Schiavone, of course, one of the most legendary commentators in professional wrestling, the voice of the back then the National Wrestling Alliance and WCW. And Rich Bocchini, we're very familiar with. He's the current voice of Wrestle Circus here in Austin. So Rich is a great friend of this show. Let me ask you this. What precipitated putting your product on BN Sports?
To grow something, you need TV. TV is the big bang for something like this, a league to really grow and sell tickets, develop licensing opportunities, and take the show on the road, but also to open new avenues to generate money. And, of course, further the rivalries, the feuds, and have our wrestlers become household names. And we position the product kind of like a sport. Tony Schiavone calls it like a sport. He, since leaving WCW in 2001, has done Atlanta Braves, University of Georgia basketball and football. So he never left calling calling games or matches. He just did it in a different space. And so I love that he has a distinct call for the action along with Rich. And having worked a bit in MMA, I thought there was a little bit of that DNA you could sprinkle in pro wrestling. And the end result is kind of a little bit of everything, the best of all worlds. We have your classic brawlers in MLW. We have hardcore wrestling. We also have high-flying luchadors like Pentagon and Rey Fénix. You have cutting-edge hybrid wrestling style guys like Shane Swerve Strickland. A little bit of everything, and I think that's important. I mean, we even have UFC fighters like Filthy Tom Lawler, Seth Petruzzelli, who knocked out Kimbo Slice. So we have everything, a little bit of everything for everyone. We have a 469-pound Barrington Hughes. So again, I like variety in my wrestling. It's what I liked when I was a fan. So we try to represent that in the product we put out there.
And I've noticed that the last few weeks, of course, it premiered on BN Sports just a few weeks ago. BN Sports, we're familiar with here in Austin with MotoGP. Of course, mm-hmm. You know, the Grand Prix of Americas comes to the Circuit of the Americas here in Austin every spring, and plus, you know, a great soccer presence there. In fact, my co-host is a co-host of a soccer show on our station as well, so they cover a lot of the different soccer leagues. Let me ask you this. What's been the biggest takeaway from your experience with WWE, MMA, and such that you've applied to what you are putting out with MLW? And I heard, you know, besides the fact that sprinkling a little bit of the sports connection, which I for one enjoy, but besides that, what's something that you learned from those experiences that you're putting into place at MLW?
Production standards. People want an experience that they feels big time. Doesn't matter if you have 75,000 people in attendance at the venue or you have a few hundred. They want a certain level of standard production, whether it's the graphics, the lighting, the pageantry, the video walls with the branded entrances for wrestlers. They want a little bit of that that makes them feel comfortable, makes them feel familiar with something quicker, makes it feel like they're watching something that's big time. It validates their experience as a fan. And on top of that, you know, you have to run a tight ship. Vince McMahon taught me each and every day you have to be ruthlessly efficient with the operation. You have to demand more, and everyone has to deliver better each time out. And so you put out there an excellent product. The fans are going to be enthusiastic about it.
We're talking with Court Bauer, the head of Major League Wrestling. You can follow him on Twitter at Court Bauer. That's Bauer. You can follow Major League Wrestling on Twitter at MLW. Let me ask you this. You know, you've got a great roster, and of course, you know, headed up by your current world champion, Shane Strickland. Of course, again, very familiar with him here in Austin. One of the best hybrid wrestlers, like you said, on the planet. You've also got everybody from Pentagon and Ray Phoenix, ACH, Austin's own. You've got Barrington Hughes that you mentioned. Just a mammoth yes. of a man there. is it a goal to eventually have a set roster, or is this going to be where you're going to bring in the best whenever they are available? Is it going to be? Are you looking to possibly make guys exclusive to MLW?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. We have over 20 guys signed to Major League Wrestling contracts. We have national TV. We're going to soon be announcing international TV. So we're taking it a step further than when we were. Phase one for us was starting local, being a hyper-local promotion. Over the last half year, we've been able to expand aggressively. Part of that is great talent on screen. Part of that's great talent behind the scenes. In addition to myself and my now 20 years in pro wrestling and MMA, you have Bruce Prichard, who has about 40 years of experience in pro wrestling, 25 or so, working at the right-hand side of Vince McMahon. He's a senior producer for me. He's also an agent. You have guys like Alex Greenfield, also formerly of WWE. You have guys like Robert Karpus, the same. And then you have Nelson Swegler, who was the former head of WWE TV operations for over two decades. So you have a certain standard, certain expectations when you have such a great team behind the scenes. For us, you got to connect the dots. You know, we have a dream team staff, dream team roster, national TV deal. You know, this little hyper local company has rapidly, aggressively grown into now what I would say is probably, arguably, you know, in terms of households, we're in over 50 million households between the two BN stations. We're right behind WWE and Impact Wrestling. So we're the fastest growing wrestling company. If you look at where we were, we didn't exist in this capacity 8 months ago. Now we have national TV deal, multi-year deal. So we're really aggressively growing. We just announced we're going to be starting to move the show around. We'll be in New York City July 19th, and we'll be in a lot of different places soon. So it's a whole lot more than just a local show. We're now a national company in the making. So you're going to be watching that evolution over the next year or two as we take this platform with our long-term TV deal and grow some more tentacles.
And as you mentioned, yeah, Thursday, July 19th, you're going to be at the Melrose Ballroom in New York, bringing MLW Fusion TV taping there. Tickets go on sale this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. Yeah. Eastern. So you can go to mlwtickets.com to get those. As you mentioned, you're wanting this to become a national organization, a national platform. Are you looking to possibly tour to hit different cities? Besides the East Coast, are you looking to come west? Where, you know, by the way, Austin, Texas, we do pretty good in wrestling. You know, we could probably handle a show here.
Sure. Well, ACH is one of our guys, and he's an Austin guy. So I think there's a distinct possibility of that. You know, we have great market research because we have a national TV deal, and we know what markets are really responding to the product. So we have this built-in market research that we can go to say, okay, we have a pretty good following in this market. Let's put a show out there. You have to kind of take these calculated risks when you're growing the company. Part of me is very hesitant to do extensive touring like house shows and stuff because I know it's the risk versus reward proposition there is a little challenging at best. Even WWE will tell you, Vince McMahon will tell you, you know, house shows ideally wouldn't be done, but you need them for the talent to learn, to develop. They're great when business is hot. They're great. You do all the house shows you can. You know, we're still, again, a rapidly growing company. So we want to make every step a home run. So we're very careful what are the next steps. And we have a 5-year plan. And so we're trying, and we already outkicked our coverage at this point. So we didn't anticipate having a national TV deal this early, but we do. And so now that we have BN, Now it's taken us a few steps further than we initially thought. So we'll see what's happening, but we have some markets on our hit list we want to get to. But it starts, you know, with us hitting New York in July, and we'll be back there somewhat regularly because we have a long-term arrangement with the venue.
Talking with Court Bauer, the head of Major League Wrestling. Let me ask you this, Court. You know, of course, you've got the exposure on BN Sports. I know you also have a YouTube channel. Are you looking to gain more exposure, whether it's a streaming service or just enhance your YouTube presence or maybe utilize the resources of BN Sports to enhance what we see on the air every Friday night?
Yeah, I think you have to rev everything up. You want your YouTube platform to be something where people can go to and get good content. Our show is also available on BN Sports YouTube channel. So if you don't get BN Sports, you can go to their YouTube channel. You could binge on the first three episodes now, along with the world title fight between Matt Riddle and Shane Strickland. We also have an OTT we're developing called MLW.TV. You know, that's where the future's headed. It's streaming, it's shorter burst of content. And whether it's, you know, putting a match on there, some access to our old footage with guys like Dr. Death and CM Punk and Vampiro and Raven, we'll probably be doing a little bit of everything. But everything we put out there, we want it to be high quality. So, you know, it's more of a quality over quantity thing. We don't want to do anything in wholesale and it not be a good experience for the viewer.
Court Bauer, head of Major League Wrestling. You can find out more information on their website at MLW.com. Catch Fusion Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on BN Sports. And there's a replay at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central on that same channel. Court Bauer, listen, you know, I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I've seen the first three episodes. Fantastic. I love what you're doing. Keep it up. All the best to you. And we hope to see bigger and better things from MLW.
Thank you, Stu. It's great to be on with you.
Back with more after this commercial timeout. This is Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, and this is The Horn, where Austin talks wrestling. You know, we're so proud to be a part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Another one of our partners, the High Spot Podcast with Jeff and Brian, the Jersey Wrecking Crew. This week, coming up the end of the week, they will have an episode where they talk to Beer City Bruiser from Ring of Honor Wrestling about facing Tetsuya Naito on the current ROH War of the Worlds tour. That's coming up this week on the High Spot Podcast, one of the great partners of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. You can find it at blogtalkradio.com.
What does everybody want? This is former WWE superstar Al Snow, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. What does
everybody need? Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, the special podcast-only segment on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network.
The Attitude Days.
By the way, yeah, thanks to Al Snow. I mean, that was a lot of fun. And I last week, of course, the show emanated from the Cauliflower Alley Club 53rd annual reunion. So I want to once again thank Al Snow, James J. Dillon, Brian Blair, the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club, Baron Von Raschke, Frankie Kazarian, and of course our dear, dear, dear friend James Beard for joining me. And that was a lot of fun. So yes, I have survived my trip to Las Vegas, and it was cool. It was neat. I mean,
that you and what is it, our other friend Carmine DeSpirito?
Yes,
we're all out.
Carmine, the Paizan. The Paizan.
I was like, did you run into him and give you trouble?
Oh, he was in rare form. It was fantastic. We will see him in now a week and a half.
Yeah,
in Wichita Falls at the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Get tickets now, pwhf.org. Carmine was there. He was, like I said, he was in rare form. You know, we were holding court. So we were at the Gold Coast Hotel and Casino, which is a really nice spot. It's not one of the glitzier places like a Bellagio or MGM Grand, but it's a nice spot. It's, you know, just off the strip, and inside the Gold Coast, they have a TGI Fridays. And that was basically where every night, that was the after party, was at TGI Fridays.
Just and like it was like 1979 New York.
Yeah.
Great.
So after everything was going on, Sunday night, Monday night, they had the Casino Royale wrestling event, a lot of matches booked by Vendetta Pro Wrestling out of California. Among the matches, I got to visit with our good friend Greg Anthony, the Golden Boy.
Yeah.
It was great to see him, hung out with him a lot. Saw Sam Houston. Sam Houston was in the ring and looked pretty good.
The Sam Houston?
The Sam Houston.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. So it was good to see him. Chaz Taylor, son of Tugboat Taylor, of course, longtime Texas wrestling legend there. It was really fun. Andrew Anderson, the Reinforcer.
Oh, it we met him last year at the Hall of Fame.
That's right. He was there. Got to hang out with him a lot. It was really cool. And to be around all these, you know, they've opened it up to fans, which is also neat. But to be around all these legends, and these are legends that you don't see too many other places. If you heard last week, the conversation I had with James J. Dillon, I mean, it was really cool to just sit down and talk to him about wrestling and talk about the Horsemen and what he, you know, what his view that back then. And it was one of those things where, you know, and of course we would see each other, you know, throughout the week.
Yeah.
So, you know, I saw, Gerald Briscoe. In fact, Wes Briscoe, his son, was there.
Oh, wow.
Former TNA star, Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
Wes and I talked a little bit. We're going to have him on the show here in the near future. It was good to see him. It was good. Pat Patterson.
Yeah, I saw tons of pictures with him.
Pat Patterson
talking
was
about pitchers, George.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. George Napolitano. You know, you don't really grasp how big of a draw George is for being a photographer.
Dude, everybody knows George.
But everybody loves George, too.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he let me hang around with him pretty much all week.
That's
and it
nice
was
of
so cool to see people come up. And this is legends and fans and promoters and everybody. Everybody came up. Never had a bad word to George. The funny story I could tell you was Monday night after this night two of Casino Royale, the wrestling event.
Mm-hmm.
Again, go to TGI Fridays. And it's me, George, Rob Van Dam, and his girlfriend, Katie Forbes.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the photo to prove it.
And Rob Van Dam and George are trading mafia stories. Because Rob Van Dam is apparently an aficionado of the history of the mafia and loves those kind of stories.
Oh,
George, on the other hand, lived in Bensonhurst in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Knew people that were in some of those families.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the stories. Rob had stories. And so I'm just standing there listening to those two just trade stories back and forth. And it was like one of those things. Where else but a wrestling convention could you have something like that happen?
I was going to ask if they end up going to go visit the Mob Museum in Las Vegas, because I actually been there once.
I would venture guess Rob did. I know Blue Meaning did. Brian Heffron.
Did he really? Okay.
Blue Meaning did. Cool. I got to talk to Blue Meaning. Great guy. Fantastic dude. We're going to have him on the show one of these days,
awesome,
too.
Man.
He's a great guy.
I look forward to talking some Blue World Order.
Yeah, it was really cool to see him. You know, it was just a lot of fun hanging out with Randy Blakely and Gino.
I've been waiting for you to tell me about Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Okay, first of all,
how'd you run into the Hammer?
He was one of the honorees. He was and you'll have to forgive me, I believe he had the men's wrestling award. I may have gotten that wrong. If I did, I apologize. But he was one of the honorees.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was there the Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
And so he would hang out and... of course, Carmine's over there with him, and
he had
Andrew
stories
Anderson,
about him when I was talking.
Andrew Anderson, and we were in again TGI Fridays. That was the place.
Well, it's
and
convenient
so
when it's in
there,
your hotel. Right?
I'm sitting there with Greg the Hammer Valentine having beers. I mean, now first of all, the man's fingers are ginormous. They are probably, I kid you not, they are probably just about the size of the stem of the microphone.
Dang.
I mean, it is And he had his Hall of Fame rings, but both WWE and Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And that was, in fact, there was one picture, the selfie with me and George and, and
the
Hammer
flashing
the PWHF rings.
Yes.
So, because they're very proud. And that was the thing. Everybody that I saw that has one of those rings was very proud of it. James J. Dillon, very proud of it.
Well, because it comes from their peers.
Right. It was really neat. So there was just, I mean, just so many stories. And of course it's, you know, it becomes kind of a blur because, you know, you're there and you're just immersed in it. You just, it's everywhere you turn, there's somebody else.
Well, I can only imagine.
So the moment of Tuesday night. So they do two different banquets. There's the Bockwinkel Blowout, where they do the first half of the awards. And then there's the formal awards banquet on Wednesday night where they do the higher level awards, I guess they would say. So Tuesday night, among the awards, they honored Brickhouse Brown.
Yeah.
So do you know Brickhouse? You know who Brickhouse Brown is?
You're going to have to give me some more feedback. Okay. I saw the name.
Okay. Brickhouse Brown, long time wrestler, wrestled a lot in Memphis. He worked in Mid-South, worked for Bill Watts for a time. He was I remember him vividly. He was very, very built. I mean, he had one of those bodybuilder type bodies.
Okay.
You know, and just,
what era is this?
This would be very late 70s, early to mid 80s.
Okay.
That he worked in Mid-South. And that's the only time I saw him was Mid-South in World Class.
Oh, okay. So you've probably caught him mainly like in World Class.
Yeah.
See, I'm a little younger than like the World Class day. So unless, not to be rude or anything, but unless it was like the Von Erichs or Freebirds or somebody that's like within those accolades. Like,
right.
I have to go back and research.
Right.
So
I just remember,
I'm always learning though.
Yeah. I just remember him because of the way he was built. So the story came out, Brickhouse Brown was diagnosed, I think 18 months ago with prostate cancer, and I think it was like stage three or stage four. Serious.
Yeah.
So it was, I want to say it was Mickey J. It was somebody that got him in contact with Brian Blair and the Cauliflower Alley Club. Mm-hmm. And the Cauliflower Alley Club, their primary mission is to help their own. I compare it to the NFL alumni. I'm proud to be on the board of directors for NFL alumni of the Austin chapter.
Yes.
And just like NFL alumni helps retired football players that, you know, fall on hard times, the Cauliflower Alley Club does the same. Okay. They put him in touch with Cauliflower Alley Club. The Cauliflower Alley Club is now paying for his treatments, his chemo, his radiation.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so they had him there, and he was the recipient of the very first Courage Award. So he gets up to make the speech, and you can imagine he's a little weakened and everything.
Yeah.
So they bring him up to the podium. He starts the speech, and then about 2 minutes into it, he calls Terry Funk on the phone and puts Terry on speakerphone and has it up to the microphone. So we're all hearing, you know, Terry's Funk is there, you know, by phone.
That's crazy.
And just talking about how much Terry Funk meant to his career. And everything, and it was one of those that you're in tears. Half the time was from the touching story, and half the time was just from laughing.
That's great, man.
You know, so it was really something, and that was it was a very special moment to see him. And you know, I really hope that we see him again next year. His probability, I think, is 50-50 right now, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So, you know, we want to wish all the best to Brickhouse Brown. A couple of guys that I did catch up with, I'm going to play these interviews. The first one was, it was really funny, Sunday night. So I get there, and we get checked and everything. Sunday night was the first night of the matches. And with Andrew Anderson, and I forget who else was with him, They came out with a manager. The manager was none other than that dastardly Prince of Darkness, Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, wow.
I mean, comes out with the robe and everything and, you know, gets into it, and it was so cool. So the next day, I was able to catch up with Kevin Sullivan, and so we started out just talking about how great the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion really is?
Well, it's a great tradition. You know, it's been started back in the day by Mike Mazurki and the Luthers and Archie Moore. So this has been going on for quite a while, and it's great for us to bump into performers we haven't seen for 20, 30, 40 years. So it's really great to be here.
As I mentioned, I saw you as recently as Monday night coming out in the ring and doing the whole Kevin song, the Prince of Darkness. And I mentioned, too, about last year, Ring of Honor, you were working with BJ Whitmer and Steve Corino, and that was so much fun. Let me ask you this. The gimmick, the Prince of Darkness thing, was that something that you thought about? Was it something that someone gave you? Tell me how that came about and how it became so iconic, especially, you know, back in the Florida days, and you and Dusty with the rivalry and all that good stuff. Just tell me about the development of that.
Well, it was based on the 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, Miami was built on illicit money. Mm-hmm. I mean, one time I was in Miami, and I looked, and there was 47 cranes building giant Hightower buildings. Where were they getting the money? So, it was, for me, I had been a babyface, came back. Half the babyfaces didn't like me because they held it against me that I had turned to heel. And then the other babyfaces said, hey, live and let live. But my whole progression was someone that was slipping into madness. And during the 80s, Florida was rampant of madness. And MTV first started, and it was Billy Idol, Thriller with Michael Jackson, horror movie genre was big at the time. So it was the right timing, right place, and that's how. And I started it at A, and I built the character. I don't think if the character came out the first day as that, it would have got over. They bought into it little by little. They were seeing the fall of somebody, and he was always obviously falling for the evils in the world. So,
talking with Kevin Sullivan, talk about, you know, Cauliflower Alley Club, and again, this is such a great place. You know, let me ask you what your favorite part of being here in Las Vegas for weeks like this, and I know you've been here several times. What's your favorite part of this?
I think it's when I go and we look at these pictures behind us and see that these guys paved the way in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. And it's pretty amazing where the wrestling business has gone from the 80s to now. It's a global phenomenon. And obviously they did that gigantic house in Saudi Arabia. And this won't be the last of them. It will be the start of something. We're going to see giant houses in that part of the world.
Before I let you go, I know you still do appearances everywhere, and I know you're still active, you know, some in the ring. And how much do you enjoy that? And especially the fans, just, you know, they know what they're going to get from you. And it's one of those things when they see you come out, they know you're going to be dastardly, you're going to be evil and all that good stuff. And that's the thing they love about it, right?
Yeah, and I enjoy getting out, but I try to temper it where I go. Maybe a big month for me is 5 dates. And then especially with the summer coming up now, I do a lot of fishing and sit at home and with the family. So, but in the fall, I go more to get out of the house. And I'm going up to, in now with baseball season, I go to a couple of, I try to get booked in town so I can go to the ball game and go to different stadiums that I haven't been in.
Yeah. Who's your team?
Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to remember that next time they come to Texas. Kevin Sullivan, it is an honor to talk to you, my friend. All the best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It was just so cool to talk to Kevin Sullivan.
Much nicer than his Taskmaster persona would lead one to be.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where all those guys, I could talk 2 hours with them and just ask them about different aspects of their career and different, you know, different things they did, whether it was like, you know, Kevin's on the Dungeon of Doom and all that good stuff. It was really neat. Another guy I got to talk to was Blue Demon Jr. He was the recipient of the first ever Cauliflower Alley Club Lucha Libre Award. And, of course, that iconic mask. I mean, even I knew who Blue Demon was, you know, and I didn't know Lucha Libre that well. And so to see Blue Demon Jr. receive that award was really neat. It was, and the man that presented him was none other than Jesse Vargas.
Yeah.
The former two-time world welterweight champion in boxing.
I thought that was an interesting crossover right there.
Really cool. And I got to talk to Jesse a little bit after the banquet that night. And he's looking for another title shot, by the way. He's got a fight sometime this summer. It's going to be on Showtime. And he's looking to get back in that title picture. I think right now he's ranked number 3 in the world in that weight class. So it could be seeing him go for the title again. But Blue Demon Jr. is really neat. And so, and of course, I had to ask him, you know, being the recipient of the first ever Cauliflower Alley Club Lucha Libre Award, had to ask him, start out by asking, you know, what that award meant to him.
It's a big surprise for me, but when I won this award, I never think be there. And really, really, it's a pleasure, it's an honor. Give me this award, but this is 23rd years about this organization, and I'm the first luchador. The first Mil Máscaras been here many years, and other Mexican wrestlers been here before me. And really, I have this award in this time in my career. It's very important. I think it's the most important award in my career. Thanks for the CAC for this award.
You know, and what they mentioned last night, and it was so true, you know, you carry on the legacy of not only your father, but of Lucha Libre, you know, throughout history. You mentioned Mil Máscaras and so many others. And it seems, especially lately, Lucha Libre has really caught fire in the United States with, like we were just talking about just before we started, about 3 years ago, we were at the Del Diamond in Round Rock for Lucha Libre USA. And it's become one of the most popular styles and one of the most popular forays in wrestling in the U.S. And I know you've got to be very proud of that.
Yes, I'm very proud of that, but, you know, this is the little piece of Mexico. The Lucha Libre take the little piece of Mexico and travel a different parts to the world, in America and all the world. And we can show our culture. We can show our technique. We can show our mysticism. Yeah? Really, it's very, very interesting. When you know the Mexican culture, you can understand the Lucha Libre, but they use a mask. Our gods and Aztec gods use the mask. This is a tiger mask. This is a leopard mask. Well, have a different gods in the Aztec culture. Well, now in the wrestling, we are not gods, but we are icons of the Lucha Libre, or we are simple human beings with used mask, that we transport the people to the past and we can show the culture. I'm very, very proud to have this mask, have this name, have this legacy, and can show my culture.
And, you know, that's one of the things, we're talking about Blue Demon Jr., one of the things that translates, no matter where you are, no matter what style you are, you know, you mentioned transporting the fans to that realm of almost the mystical side of professional wrestling, Lucha Libre. And, you know, we see it especially, you know, down in Texas. A lot of the wrestlers there, you know, travel to the different promotions in Mexico, whether it's AAA or CMLL or The Crash or whatever. And it's like I said, it's become so popular. I remember I think it was may have been season one of Lucha Underground that you were on there. And see, Lucha Underground, another outlet that has brought, kind of built that bridge for Lucha Libre to mainstream U.S. And it's so neat. Let me ask you this. What does it mean to you just to be here at the Cauliflower Alley Club to see not only fans, but other professionals, other wrestlers, people that are working in the industry for so long and kind of reunite with some of those individuals that have meant much to you in your career?
Well, I think the Lucha Underground Sucifol is the real crossover with the Mexican Lucha Libre and the American style. I think this is the point, the crossover. But the people, if you want to see Lucha Libre, you turn on your TV and that's it. You can see Lucha Libre everywhere in every channel. Now, if you can see the real Lucha Libre or wrestling, real wrestling, you can go to the place to see in life. This is the point. If you want to see Lucha Libre, you need to go to see Lucha Libre in life. This is the most significant point in this one.
Blue Demon Jr. was so cool to talk to. And, you know, what he said about Lucha Libre, go see it live. That's pro wrestling in general. No matter what, as much as we like to watch it on TV, there's something special about being at it live. We talk, you know, we do the segment where we do, you know, tell you what's happening in independent wrestling. Mm-hmm. We do that because we want you to go see it live, because there's just that connection that you don't get watching it on TV. It was really, really cool to talk to him. All in all, just a fantastic experience at Cauliflower Alley Club. If I'm able to swing it, I'll go again next year. And it was really neat. We may have to make a team trip.
True trip.
It's pretty cool. It is really cool. So let's see, a couple other things going on. Let's talk New Japan. They've got Dominion coming up on June 9th, and they've got some matches already signed for that one, including, I can't believe they're actually doing this again, but hey, if what we got was great, more can be better, right? Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega. This time, best 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit.
I mean, how long could they possibly wrestle?
They've gone 60 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Could we see 90?
I was going to say, could they go 2 hours?
It's New Japan.
I know. It's New Japan. It's 2 out of 3 falls. I mean, it doesn't...
It's not beyond the realm of possibility, right?
I mean, to really go with, like, no time limit, it just kind of tells me, like, we're probably going to see something astronomical when it comes to stamina and the length of performance here.
Yeah. Oh, I...
That's all I'm saying. It might go 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half might be the peak, but it just seems like that would be fitting for a match of, as we were talking Lucha Libre earlier, dos y tres caídas.
Exactly. Tetsuya Naito is defending the IWGP Intercontinental title against Chris Jericho.
Yeah,
so we thought Chris Jericho was done with New Japan, but now he showed up this past weekend, attacked Naito. So now he gets a shot at the IC title.
Well, for a while it was like Cody, who was like the hottest free agent. But right now I think it's Chris Jericho.
Oh, easily.
He's basically everywhere that all the big shows are.
Easily. How many WWE Intercontinental titles did we... He has 9? Because they were talking about The Miz, if he had won at Backlash, he would have tied Chris Jericho's record.
Okay, I did not know that.
It's either 8 or 9. So
I know he's held it a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, so he has the record. So he just wants to add the IWGP Intercontinental title to that already Hall of Fame resume. Sonata and Evil defend the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles against the Young Bucks. Hiroki Goto defends the NEVER Openweight Championship against Michael Elgin and Taichi in a triple threat match. Will Ospreay will likely defend the junior heavyweight title against the winner of the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, unless he ends up winning that tournament, in which case he'll pick his own opponent. And Rey Mysterio is scheduled to be there.
Another big name coming out.
No kidding. No kidding. So that's New Japan's Dominion on June 9th. That should be a lot of fun to watch. WWE Network has now added the first 52 episodes of Sunday Night Heat. Remember Sunday Night Heat?
Kind of, sort of. I really tried to get into it as a kid and then realized quickly it was just a B-show.
It was a B-show.
But for the first couple of shows, they really tried hard, though, right?
They did. And I know there were a few times when it would be the live lead-in to pay-per-views. So
that's right. It was like the pre-show.
It was the pay-per-view pre-show before they did pay-per-view pre-shows.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that because it was like, oh, man, I really want to watch this event, but all I'm going to be able to watch is Heat because I'm not going to spend $50 on a pay-per-view.
Wasn't it on MTV at one time?
Sunday Night Heat. I thought it was always on USA Network.
It may have been.
And you might have got replays on MTV at one point.
Yeah, may have been.
What I really remember from MTV, and I think this is what you might be recalling, was the Super Bowl halftime between
The Rock
and Mick Foley, or when he was Mankind. I remember watching that during one Super Bowl, and I believe that was on MTV.
It was an empty arena match.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that one was on MTV, at least for
a very short
time.
I think that was on MTV, at least that
No, I mean, Sunday Night Heat, I think it was. I have to look back. We'll see. And then you heard us talk to Brian Fritz, Table for Three, Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon, and AJ Styles, including footage from the matches between Kurt Angle and AJ Styles from Impact, of course, back then TNA Wrestling. They even had the graphic at the end telling people how they can subscribe to the Global Wrestling Network, which, again, to me, that seems like that's big, because WWE never acknowledges anything, and now they've not only acknowledged it, they even gave them a little love.
Well, I think this is going to start becoming the norm, because even on YouTube, if you check out the WWE Network, or not the network, but their YouTube channel, let me be more specific.
Right.
You have that whole how Tyler Black became Seth Rollins. And they go through the whole evolution from Ring of Honor, and they show you all the clips. So, and they give the shout outs and such. So I think this is something that you'll start seeing even with TNA. I think the WWE kind of realizes that no other company really is a threat to them at the top spot, except for maybe New Japan, if they can pick up steam here in America. And right now it's been hot, but I mean,
does it keep up that way?
Exactly. Right. You know how these, and I was going to say this when we had Brian on, it looks like we're going through another wrestling boom, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be as big as, say, the Attitude Era was.
No, and I've said this before, it's not, it's more spread out. It's not just WWE.
Yes.
You know, back then it was WWE, WCW, and ECW to some extent.
But it
seems like everybody else is contributing to the boom, you know, whether it's Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, Lucha Underground, now MLW on you know, BN Sports, the indie scene.
Yeah, it's like I almost feel like a wrestling hipster now, because it's just like, oh, whatever your taste and style may be, however obscure it may be, somebody out there is watching it. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like Party World Wrestling that I've seen out at the
Fourth Tap.
There you go.
At Fourth Tap Brewery.
Yeah, I was
Brewery.
Like,
you're
that's
in
not typically the style. I wouldn't, no offense, I probably wouldn't never like go pay to see that, but it has its feeling. It definitely has its supporters. I mean, those guys, they get rowdy for what they're watching, and they try to give them wrestling the way that they do it and how they vision it, and it works.
Well, and some of our friends from Inspire Pro Wrestling, Roxy Castillo, I know, is involved with that. I think Dan the Man's involved with that. Chris Drew was involved with that as well. You're right. It's a matter of style, whichever style you want. In fact, you heard earlier, we talked to Court Bauer, the head of MLW, and you know, he talked about the fact that MLW is trying to bring all those styles together. That way you get something that you like, whether it's hybrid or Lucha Libre or hard hitting or strong style or whatever. They're trying to showcase it in their 1 hour that they get on BN Sports, And they're doing a pretty good job of it, at least, you know, the first 3 weeks. So
yeah, at least for now. I mean, that's like the tell. That's what's always going to end up telling the truth here is like, how long can they sustain this? And
right.
You've seen this during the territory days.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? It's like how.
Well, and there was different styles. Whether you know, I just had a conversation with Gary Michael Capetta that we'll have on
this
in the future.
Is Sting.
And we talked about even back then, where WWE then WWF. Was more of the family-friendly, I hate to use the word cartoonish, but more of just...
They had cartoons.
Right.
I
right,
was like,
they
the
did.
Rock and Wrestling. I
Whereas,
grew up watching that. That's
right.
Why I watched Macho Man.
At the other end was the NWA and Jim Crocker Promotions. That was more of the hard-hitting, stiff, you know, you will see blood, you will see violence.
That's what my grandpa would watch because he thought it was real.
Right. Exactly. And so... It did, you know, whichever one, that was the thing with the advent of cable television. Now you could watch both.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, there were Saturdays where I could watch WWE or WWF Superstars Saturday morning on USA and then tune in at 5:05 p.m. Central on TBS and watch World Championship Wrestling.
Well, that was the great thing about WCW at the time, back in those late 80s, early 90s, is that it was just on all the time.
It was.
Power Hour Saturday, Power Hour Sunday. I can't remember which is the different names, but I remember you'd always get at least an hour block with no fail.
Absolutely. Before we end this segment, I want to bring in one more interview. This Cauliflower Alley Club, again, great to see the legends. But also brought in some of the stars of today. Last week had a great, you know, had a chat with one of our favorites, Frankie Kazarian, the Heavy Metal Rebel, one-third of the Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions. Another one, Marty the Moth from Lucha Underground. It was great to see him. So, you know, and when I got caught up with him, he had just gotten there.
I'm doing good. I just got here today. I was in Victoria, Texas last night wrestling a man called Matt Cross, Son of Havoc, if you're a Lucha Underground fan. Just got here today, and now I'm enjoying the CAC Cauliflower Reunion.
How was Victoria?
It was great. It was a very loud crowd. I like people who are very loud and active.
That's a budding promotion there, and I hope to see more from them soon. Let's talk about CAC. I mean, this is such a collection of, like I said, guys like you, Frankie Kazarian, Gino, you know, the stars of today, but also, you know, the legends that paved the way for guys like you to be in professional wrestling. What does this mean to you to be a part of this?
It's great because, like you said, it's got the stars of new and stars of old, essentially. And I like it because it's a good pay your respects to those who paved the way to you, but also seeing what you could do to improve the business and pave your own roads as well. So I really like the CAC. It's good to see people I usually don't get to see. I love it every single time of year I come out. I love it every year.
Of the times you've been here, is there that one or two legends that you got to meet that, you know, that the 8-year-old inside you kind of came out a little bit, you know, a little starstruck?
I met him before, but it's still the same effect. I was on a show called WWE Tough Enough. Stone Cold Steve Austin was here 2 years ago. I still get that way with him. This year, Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is the reason why I got into wrestling. So I still get that way with him. I've met him before. It's on a high-buy relationship, though. So I still kind of get that way with Shawn and Steve still.
Let me ask you about that. I remember you were on Tough Enough. That experience, and of course you had to leave early because of the ankle injury, but I'm sure that motivated you to keep on and to reach the goals that you've reached. Like I said, now part of one of the hottest shows on television with Lucha Underground. How much did that experience stick with you, and how much did it motivate you to keep going on your journey in pro wrestling?
WWE Tough Enough completely changed my mindset on things. I was pretty depressed when my ankle broke, but I was going to win that competition if my ankle wouldn't have broke. Straight up, I don't know any way around it. The way things were going, I don't think there would have been a way that I could have lost, but that's just me going into a competition. I think if you're going into a competition, you have to think you're going to win, right? So that was a killer for me mentally. But when Stone Cold Steve Austin took me aside after the show was cut and done airing, he said, you would have won this show if you would have kept your ankle up. I asked him any sort of advice. He told me to put on some weight. I hired a personal trainer, gained 40 pounds. And basically, I just kept in touch with him. So as for me, that show was a huge uplifter as far as Stone Cold Steve Austin, the man himself, who declares the winner of the show, said, I would have won the show. So if I would have won that show, what could I do? If a man like that tells me, hey, you would have won this show and you would have been part of the WWE, or just, I don't even care if it's the WWE anymore, just you could have been part of wrestling. That motivated the crap out of me, and ever since then, it's been full steam ahead. I gained 40 pounds with my personal trainer. I'm on Lucha Underground, one of the hottest shows in the world, and I'm just, things are fantastic.
Right. So let's talk Lucha Underground Season 4 coming June 13th, El Rey Network. You know, I know there's a new temple.
Yep.
Tell us, and we've seen pictures. Tell us, because, you know, of course, the tapings have happened. Just give me an idea of what it felt like to be in the new temple. Because I think it used to be a cold storage facility. So I think they worked with that in the motif, right?
They did. In fact, they call it the Ice Temple. And it fits very well because they still have the posters and stuff. Not posters, the writing on it saying Ice Storage, etc. They still have it all there. So the atmosphere the first day, where there was an adjusting period. But after the second day, it all snapped back in. Everyone, we had some time off, so it took a little ring rust, not ring rust, but some little time to get back into Lucha Underground swing. It's a different swing than any other show, any other indie show, any other Fed show. But after the first day, things went right back to Lucha Underground style, and I'm happy to say I didn't think that Lucha can go crazier or hardcore as it was, but this show season is going to be the best season I've seen yet.
You know, I've purposely avoided spoilers or anything like that, but I have heard it's a little more crazy. I imagine the creepiness with you and Melissa Santos continues a little bit, which is always fun. Look, Marty, you and I got to meet in New Orleans during. Oh, and I want to ask you about that. So we met at the Impact versus Lucha Underground show. Reflect on that for a moment, because that was kind of a groundbreaking show. You had two companies that are based in the U.S., both on television, coming together for an event on the biggest weekend in wrestling, and it turned out to be an incredible event. You were a part of that. What did it mean to you to be a part of that and your reflection just on that night?
It was a great night for me. I don't think you're ever done learning in wrestling, and I don't think you're ever done progressing. So I actually wasn't even booked to wrestle that night. It just worked out where they needed somebody, and I was outside signing autographs. So they said, hey, we need you. And so I ended up working. I love the fact Impact's doing fantastic with the new roster and the new changeup of things. I love the fact that these bigger companies now are able to get together, co-promote with each other, and make wrestling better as a whole rather than trying to destroy each other. I think as overall, wrestling is going to be in the highest peaks ever in these next 5 to 10 years.
Marty the Moth Martinez, he's a really cool dude, a great guy. It was fun to in New Orleans seeing him interact with Melissa at WrestleCon and a couple other places. They played up the whole creepiness a little bit, but Marty's great.
Yeah, but then De Rosa just told us the week before you left that he was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, oh he's fantastic. Before we go, I've got to do this because hey. When you get one of the greatest tag teams together at the same time, and especially after they've been honored by the Cauliflower Alley Club with their tag team award, you got to hear from them. It's none other than the 11-time WCW World Tag Team Champions, Stevie Ray, Booker T, Harlem Heat. They were there. It was great to see them. Great to see them get their award. They got it from Scott Casey, the legendary wrestler back in the World Class days and the GWF days. So I caught up with Booker T and Stevie Ray and started with Stevie just asking him what that award meant to him.
You know, man, it's funny how the first big hotel me and my brother ever stayed in Vegas, in 1994 was the Gold Coast. Here it is 24 years later. almost 25. We're in the very hotel that we stayed in, and we're being honored. Is that ironic or what?
That's amazing.
Is that crazy?
It's amazing.
You know,
absolutely.
That makes it more special. That makes it more special for me, and hopefully I'm speaking for my brother also.
Oh, I know.
You know, so that's ironic. That's how this business works, and hey, man, it's right here.
Yeah.
It's the business, man. It's right here.
You think to those beginning days, Booker, back, you know, first time I saw you was in the Global Wrestling Federation, Ebony Experience. From there, WCW, 11 tag team title reigns, both of you singles title success, WWE. I mean, you reflect on all this, and Booker, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I know this means a lot to you, especially having Gino here, one of your prize guys from Reality Wrestling here.
It's the ultimate lifetime achievement award, I think, you know, for the wrestler, the guy that get in this business, you know, a lot of them think it's that pinnacle wrestling match, you know, but for me, I think it's the way you finish, you know what I mean, how you're honored, your body of work, the way, you know, you're looked at, not just by the fans, but by your peers as well. I think that pretty much sums up the career, and I think that's what the young guys need to strive to you know, for the same thing to happen to them. You know, it's not just about the wrestling. It's about the journey that we're on, and it's an ultimate journey. Beautiful.
It is. Booker T, Stevie Ray, Harlem Heat.
Appreciate
Man,
it,
congratulations.
Appreciate it.
By the way, ROW, next Saturday, right?
Well, going down on the 12th. Make sure you guys be there. It's going to be an awesome show. We got
don't show up late like you usually do.
I show up early. you show up late.
Don't come walking in right before the bell rings and try to get a good seat. We got you on that.
All right. I got you. Congrats.
For the record, I show up early. I show up there like 2 hours before bell time.
Yeah. Show up on time.
Stevie is the one that shows up after me. So, you know, Stevie actually, we got to get him on because he's been wanting to come on the show, and I want to get him on. But yeah, it was really neat. And like I said, and during their speech, Booker gave a shout out to Gino and had him stand up and get recognized by the crowd there. So it was really cool to be there. And I couldn't be prouder for those two guys and proud that we get to call them friends. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, Booker T and Stevie Ray, they're buds of mine. Yeah, sure. So anyway, all in all, fun stuff at Cauliflower Alley Club. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we will let you know what's happening around the state in independent wrestling. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Let's take a look at another one of our great partners in the Cheap Pops Podcast Network on Blog Talk Radio. That partner being Stick to the Gimmick, where the guys talk about the latest that's happening in NXT, the Yellow Brand. Great things going on that show. Of course, Stick to the Gimmick will have all the latest on what's going on in NXT. That's Stick to the Gimmick, part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network that you'll find on blogtalkradio.com.
This is Marta the Moth Martinez from Lucha Underground, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. It's going to be fun.
I'm sorry. He cracks me up. I don't know. He cracks me up. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the horn. 104.9 AM, 1260. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons. Wrapping up another week. It's getting towards the weekend, so, of course, we got to let you know what's happening in the area as far as wrestling shows go. We will start Friday night. VIP Wrestling, there's a name we haven't talked about in a long time, but it's good to see them back. But they tell you, don't call it a comeback. In fact, that's the name of the show. Don't call it a comeback. Friday night at the Knights Columbus St. Jude Hall in Arlington, bell time 8 p.m., ACH will defend the VIP Championship against Barrett Brown. That should be a great match. Plus, Josh Woods, the Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament winner from last year, will be there. Unholy Gregory James will be there. F-
Fun and Sexy, the Sabotage Wrestling World Tag Team Champions. Baby D and Phoebe will be there as well. VIP Wrestling, Don't Call It a Comeback, Friday night in Arlington. Saturday night, Rampage All-Star Wrestling, another promotion making their return. The Rampage Revival will be at the J.N. Long Cultural Arts Complex in Cleburne. Bell time, 7 p.m. on Saturday night. Among those scheduled to appear, Dirty Andy Dalton, T-Ray, Paige Turner, Angel Blue, and Bam Bam Malone. That's Rampage All-Star Wrestling, Saturday night in Cleburne. And then Reality of Wrestling, Collision Course. They've got their TV taping Saturday at the World Gym Arena in Texas City. Bell time, 7 p.m. Rex Andrews making his return after his big tour of Japan, along with Aiden Christiano, Mysterious Q, of course, the ROW champion Gino, and Hyon scheduled to be there. That's Reality of Wrestling, Collision Course, Saturday in Texas City. So
you know, we say it a lot, but there really is a lot of really great talent spread out among those three cards that we just mentioned. And I know there's some others that are hidden out there that we just weren't privy to get to.
Yes.
But
by the way, if you are a promoter listening to this, if you want us to showcase your cards, send us the info. You can email us, tweet us, whatever. Send us
a
poster.
P.O. box.
Yeah. Find a P.O. box. But yeah, let us know. Send that information to us. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, and we'll be happy to let the listeners know. So the throw-in, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. So you went to City Hall?
No, I mean, it's like a town hall event.
Town hall, okay, all right.
I wouldn't say like City Hall, like going to the building, but, you know, when they go and they, I don't go to a lot of city council-style meetings.
Right.
But this was one of those. If you live in the area, you know, they want to hear from their constituents.
Right.
And
so this had to do with possibly using McCalla Park.
Yes. It came from what the city presented to the people of Austin.
Right.
Like what they would have done with the land and other things that they had overseen and how it would work financially. And then the people from PSV stating, good purposes for the use of the stadium and how it would work out between the city and when they would start playing if everything comes to fruition and such. So, you know, basically, I mean, as a not just like a person who talks about soccer, but as a fan in general and a fan of the city of Austin, I was thinking about it. I would have moved to Dallas because I always wanted to live in a city where I had professional sports. You know, I wanted season tickets to the Cowboys if I wasn't going to work it or the Mavericks. And now this way, hopefully I'll be working it, but
yeah,
you know, absolutely. in some way or form, but now I'll have a team to call my own if it does come. And it really gives Austin, not saying the sports team is the end all and be all, but it really does help add to that big town, like big city feel.
Because
we already have Circuit of Americas. We've hosted X Games. We already have ACL, but
that's right.
To have our own top tier professional team in Austin, I think that would change the game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it would definitely put some eyes on it. So anyway, I know you and Kit and Zach will be talking about that on Sunday.
Oh, I'm hosting Sunday too. So
maybe
I can throw in some shout outs to us and then some wrestling references.
Maybe I'll call in.
You did see that, right? During the Greatest Royal Rumble, that they had pictures of the workers backstage and such, the talent, the wrestlers, whatever you want to say. And a lot of them were playing soccer outside. I even saw on Twitter, it was like Brock Lesnar hitting a soccer ball. I was like, wow, he's such a giant, but he has good grace.
Speaking of which, Man City, the Premier League champions,
got
their belts.
The WWE belt from Triple H.
Yeah.
He tweeted that out. You tweeted it to me. I saw it that morning, too.
Sweet looking belts.
Some more crossover. Yeah. I love when I can get my pro wrestling soccer crossovers.
Absolutely. I'm taking this weekend off because it's been, as you know, it's been crazy between the NFL draft. By the way, congrats, Connor Williams. That was such a great moment. Connor Williams, of course, from Capel. The outstanding offensive lineman from Texas getting picked in the second round by his hometown, Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I could only imagine how much of a thrill that would be.
You know, I had opportunity to connect with him afterwards, did a quick interview with him, and it was really cool. You could tell how moved he was. So congratulations to him. But yeah, NFL draft and then Cauliflower Alley Club and NFL alumni and Boy Scouts. So this weekend's going to be kind of lay low because we got to get ready.
Because next weekend, mm-hmm. Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction weekend, we will be there. We are going to do a live show starting at noon on Saturday from the meet and greet in the trade show. We'll have more details on that next week, but just keep that in mind. Keep posted to our Facebook, Twitter, the website, hornfm.com, and we'll let you know all about that. So, but that'll do it for this week's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. You can follow Justin the Smash Simmons on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at The Smash Simmons. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Stu Myrick. That's StewMyrick. You can follow the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. We are proud to be a part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network you find on Blog Talk Radio. We're proud to be the official broadcast partner of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Don't forget, get your tickets, induction weekend, pwhf.org. It's next weekend. And we're proud to be a part of the great lineup you hear every day on the flagship station for the Texas Longhorns. We are the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Catch us Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Central on the Horn, or you can catch us anytime on demand by going to hornfm.com, click on the on-air tab, or by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform. My thanks to Brian Fritz from Between the Ropes for joining us, and my thanks to you for giving us a little bit of your time. For Justin, I'm Stu. We will see you at the matches.
Goodbye and good night.